Occupy LA's two-month-long tent city outside City Hall has been dismantled by LAPD after a raid that began last night, a few minutes past midnight. About 1,400 police officers, some in riot gear, flooded the steps of City Hall and arrested about 200 protesters who were prepared to hold the camp, some of whom were new arrivals. There were no reports of violence. However, the Associated Press is reporting that, quote, beanbags fired from shotguns were used to subdue the final three protesters in a makeshift treehouse. Accompanying the police was a bomb squad and a hazmat team. However, no illegal substances, drugs, or weapons were found anywhere on the camp. As of 5 a.m. this morning, the park in front of City Hall, renamed Solidarity Park, is empty. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, 40 people were arrested in a similar raid in Philadelphia, clearing that city's occupation. KPFK's Ernesto Arce was at the Occupy LA encampment since 9:30 p.m. last night. He spoke with an unnamed protester who was erecting a barricade before the raid.
They're going to come through if they want to come through. They're going to take the camp if they want to take the camp. With that said, the longer that we can stand here, the better it is for the movement, the better it is for us. I think the better it is as far as the symbol. We know that they are a paramilitarized force. They have guns, they have helicopters, they have heavy machinery, and they're going to do what they want to do. However, they need to see, people all over the world need to see that if people come together, they are powerful.
Ernesto Arce now joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising.
Good morning, Sonali. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I know you haven't slept all night.
I have not.
You've been up and you have been really on the front lines covering this movement right from the start. And you have been, in fact, spending various nights, including on Sunday night when the deadline was set for the camp to be raided. The camp was not raided on Sunday night. There was a lot of press. Why do you think it took 48 hours for the LAPD to finally clear the encampment?
That's a very good question. I think they were under pressure. There was a lot of media, as you mentioned, and I think they wanted to avoid the limelight. I think they wanted to avoid bad press. Obviously, Mayor Villaraigosa is very sensitive about the issue of bad press and about especially the activist community coming down hard on him as they have over the past 2 or 3 years. And I think that's one of the main reasons why he decided not to, or LAPD Chief Charlie Beck with Mayor Villaraigosa, didn't move quickly on the protest.
Mm. You spoke with LAPD Commander Andrew Smith, and I want to play for our listeners a clip of that interview.
LAPD Chief Beck mentioned that there wasn't going to be any surprises. It seemed like that ran contradictory to what happened right now.
I don't think so. I think he made it quite clear that people were going to be allowed to leave, and people were going to be encouraged to leave without being arrested. And the ones that were still here were arrested. You know, we gave everybody an ample opportunity to leave once the park was surrounded with our officers. And I think nobody's going to jail today. They're surprised that they're going to jail today.
And that is Commander Andrew Smith of the LAPD speaking with KPFK's Ernesto Arce. Well, let's talk about how it all played out. Because the Occupy LA encampment was given so much notice and essentially knew that there would be a raid at any time, how did that affect the dynamics of the camp itself? I understand that there were some people who showed up who had not even been camping for the whole time.
Well, the mood was celebratory. I mean, people were it was very festive. People were very happy to be there. There was definitely a mood of defiance. And, again, as you mentioned, there was at least 500 people there. I think at the height of the camp, there might have been 300 or 400 people, even though there were many more tents set up. And many people showed up in solidarity. I spoke with two different couples who had showed up just that day. They hadn't camped. They hadn't taken part in any of the general assemblies. They hadn't taken part in any of the meetings. They just felt the need to be there because they knew that the eviction was pending. And so, they felt that it was necessary to be there to represent the 99%, to say, you know what, even though the Occupy LA encampment is going to be forcibly removed, we still need to be here because it's important to make it clear, make it known that the mission of Occupy LA has succeeded. And that is, the 99% really demand respect and deserve the respect that they're not getting, that the 1% has amassed way too much wealth, and that needs to change.
Well, we played the clip earlier of you speaking to the unnamed, a protester who was erecting a barricade. How much training was there ahead of time and planning for what happened last night among the protesters?
Occupy LA was very well organized. Everything was executed very efficiently. There were subcommittees on top of subcommittees that dealt with security, some that dealt with, there was a medical team that was set up a couple of weeks prior to this morning's raid and eviction. There were so many people that had specific job functions. They knew exactly what they were there to do, and they carried it out beautifully, according to my opinion.
Well, let's talk about the police behavior. 1,400 police, some some of them in riot gear. There's a bomb squad, a hazmat team. Did that seem like overkill?
It was epic. It was an epic police response. It was definitely
overkill.
What
was that moment like? Was that frightening for people to see this huge sort of army of cops coming?
It was terrifying. It definitely was. I consider myself a veteran of protests, and I had never seen a police mobilization in this scale. It was epic. It was large. They came out of every direction, which was interesting. LAPD Chief Charlie Beck said, there would be no surprises. Everyone would know when the police would come. And kind of like when some of the Dream Act students have, locked arms sat down in the middle of the street. Everything is kind of very procedural. But here it was just they came out of every direction. They ran, literally running over people who were, locked arm in arm in the middle of below the South City Hall steps. And people were very frightened. People were more angry than frightened, I would say, because there was that mood of that defiant mood that was in the air pretty much the whole entire evening.
Well, the major media are not reporting, are reporting that there were no serious injuries and that a few cops got minor injuries. Did you watch anybody getting injured? You said that they ran over people.
I was there until about 5 in the morning, and I noticed lots of people that were injured, lots of people that were some that were resisting arrest for whatever reason. Again, we were not allowed access into the actual lawn, under the actual park where the arrests were being conducted. But we did take note of several incidences in which people were screaming, people were, writhing in pain. They were saying, no, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. No, I'm not resisting. So we heard a lot of that. And a lot of that was captured by the Occupy LA media team that was also, taping some of the incidences that were happening. Mm-hmm. And also one thing I might want to add is that the mainstream media is also saying that the arrests only took place there at City Hall lawn. There are actually various skirmishes that took place surrounding City Hall, like in the garment district. Even as I was driving out, I was actually escorted by police because I was parked very close to the old Parker Center, and so I had a police escort to eventually get my way out. And there were various skirmishes. There was a National Lawyers Guild legal observers who were recording some of the skirmishes between protesters who were taunting police, and obviously the police had there was a reason for the taunting. The police had their nightsticks out, and they were trying to remove all of the protesters. But I got several reports of people who said, we were trying to peacefully leave the area. We were not able to peacefully leave the area. We were cordoned off. We were cornered, essentially.
And, so were there people arrested who didn't plan on being arrested?
I think there definitely were people who were arrested who did not intend to be arrested. Actually, we have several people on tape that said, I was not here to be arrested. But in one specific case, a man had a cell phone camera, and the officer asked him, do not take another picture. Do not use that flash again. And the flash accidentally went off, and he was grabbed by the hoodie from the back and pulled over. And of course, his girlfriend and his mother, who were also there, began sobbing, and the three of them were arrested.
Wow, all three.
All three.
My guest is KPFK reporter Ernesto Arce, who has been covering the Occupy Los Angeles movement and encampment in great detail and was there all last night through 5 a.m. this morning during the hours-long raid that took place. Although it was expected the raid would happen, the manner in which it was conducted certainly sounds like it surprised many. I want to play one more clip of an interview that you did with one of the protesters, Carlos Marroquin. I understand you spoke with him before the raid, but here he reflects on Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
He alone has made the decision to go against the movement right here. And something that I need you to make you aware is that in the almost 60 days that we've been here, not once he stepped out of the office and visited us here. So that sends the kind of signal and the message that the mayor has towards the citizens of Los Angeles. He's totally out of touch.
And that's Carlos Marroquin speaking with Ernesto Arce. You actually spoke with him right after the raid. And how do you think the mayor is going to sort of emerge from all of this? Because compared to other mayors of other cities, whether or not he has played his role for the benefit of the press, he certainly has been more favorable toward the occupation in Los Angeles compared to other mayors.
Well, the occupation has existed since October 1st, or rather Occupy LA has been around since October 1st. And from the very start, he, you know, stated his support. He said that he was a former, you know, reminded people that he was a former labor leader, that he was a labor organizer with the United Farm Workers. And he said that he supported the sentiment of Occupy LA. Yet, as Carlos Marroquin mentioned, the media coordinator for Occupy LA, not once did he ever visit the occupation.
Well, he
encampment.
Did deliver ponchos during that one rainy day.
I didn't remember
very
that.
Very early on in the encampment.
And, according to Carlos, you know, his first, you know, active presence was during the, this morning at 3:15, you know, during the raid or in the aftermath of the raid.
So the mayor showed up at 3?
At 3:15, mm-hmm. along with Chief Charlie Beck. And both of them refused, to be interviewed by KPFK. But they were both there. Yeah, I believe the mayor's initial statement is that, and he says, the mayor said he had never seen a more professional, restrained police force under very trying circumstances as I've witnessed today. And he, of course, praised Police Chief Charlie Beck for his for showing restraint and professionalism, is what he's quoted as saying.
Well, the organization Good Jobs LA, which has been working closely with Occupy LA, has announced a press conference this morning at 9 a.m. on the steps of City Hall. They're going to be joined by members of Occupy LA and community labor and religious leaders and are going to discuss plans to take the movement beyond City Hall. So let's talk briefly about that from your coverage of this movement, of the local chapter, if you will, of this national movement. What do you think is going to happen to the occupation's original sort of aspiration now?
Well, I think from the very beginning, there were members of the General Assembly who said, you know, we don't really know about City Hall. It's difficult to access. It's not very accessible to the general public. There were plans to expand it into Pasadena, for example. Riverside has an active occupation movement. Orange County has like two or three very large and growing occupation movements. Long Beach has its own. So there was always that sentiment that City Hall was symbolic, yet it didn't play into it. Wasn't the comprehensive movement. It wasn't what the movement was all about. And so now I actually checked out a couple of leads that I got early this morning. I went down to MacArthur Park because some people were saying that they were going to begin gathering and occupying MacArthur Park. I didn't see too much action there. A few people said that they were moving to La Placita Church in Alvera Street, and that also didn't pan out. There weren't too many people there. A few people with backpacks, but backpacks and sleeping bags. But I didn't see anybody
setting up.
Yeah,
tent, yeah.
Large Occupy movement there.
What about the growing number of homeless people that began joining the encampment? And certainly, I understand that part of the eviction, if you will, of the Occupy movement from City Hall. Part of the deal the city offered was 50 beds for those who were homeless among the campers. Do you know what happened to them, and were there any homeless people that you could tell during the raid last night?
Well, the initial promise was for farmland and office space, but then later on, as the threat of the eviction, or rather the announcement that the city was closing down City Hall Park, they'd mentioned that they were going to bring in homeless service providers to provide up to 50 beds for people who might not have a home after the eviction. And essentially, one protester made a great comment, which I still remember vividly. He said, we're 3 blocks away from the largest jail in the world, and we're a few blocks away from the largest homeless population in the United States. There are lots of problems and challenges that Occupy LA has, and the city needs to heed our demands, and they really need to acknowledge that the city has very deep-seated problems, and those are problems that the city needs to address. I think providing 50 homeless beds is not the solution.
It's a Band-Aid.
Right, right.
Finally, you mentioned earlier that there was a lot of documentation going on of what happened during the raid last night into early this morning. From your time at Occupy LA, how do you see the role of journalist versus activist? I mean, you're a reporter for a bona fide news outlet, KPFK, but people are blogging, people are Facebooking, ordinary people who may not have journalism training, background, experience, but who have their networks, and they are posting videos and photographs constantly. How well documented has this movement been?
I think it's unprecedented. I mean, I was mentioning on my Facebook and Twitter feeds that on Sunday night, you know, every time I would go speak to an LAPD public information officer, every time I would speak with a labor organizer or you know, one of the facilitators of Occupy LA, there was at least, you know, half a dozen people behind me, you know, filming on whether it be a cell phone camera or a handheld camera. And so I think this movement is really well documented.
So it's going to tell its own story.
I think in a lot of ways it will tell its own story. And it's civic journalism. I mean, I think that's journalism of the 21st century, where everyone has access and everyone can tell their own story. And I think that's very important. I know some people have raised concerns about, well, what's the quality of the news that these people are putting out? I mean, it's really their own version.
And that's what journalism and news generally is.
That's what it's all about, as we like to say in the newsroom, you know, afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Mm-hmm. And I think people have their own way of bringing about justice in the journalism that they do, or in the reporting that they do, regardless of how simple-minded some people might consider it.
Mm. Well, Ernesto Arce, I want to thank you very much for sharing your insights with us. I hope you get to have some sleep very soon.
You made me tired after after you mentioned how many hours I've been up. But yeah,
and your news report will be heard at 6 p.m. this evening as part of the KPFK
6 p.m.
news.
That's right.
Thank you for all the work that you do. Ernesto Arce is KPFK's news reporter.